This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Gary YouTube from the Cultaholic Wrestling, and welcome back to this latest thrilling installment of the tier list ranking malarkey, where this time Jack the Jobber will be portraying Gary YouTube. What is to Gary YouTube, Jack the Jobber? Remind people at home.
Oh, it's a verb.
Yeah.
As well as a noun.
What does it mean?
It means to partake in activities that the YouTube kids use for greater views and engagement with the audience.
Correct. Hit the intro. We are soulless, soulless sluts.
Very cynical. So, just in case you've never seen one of these before, we are breaking down all of the SmackDown roster's year of 2021 in terms of its quality into five lovely tiers, from the best to lovely, 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 to all right, to just about bearable, to the bin.
God, I'm so proud.
Thank you. I was nervous, but I've done it.
Who's first, Gary?
Quite an interesting one, first of all. It's Sami Zayn. I'll run through what he's done this year so far. He won a place in the Elimination Chamber, but was eliminated by Kevin Owens. This led to the conspiracy theory gimmick.
Oh.
He then befriended Logan Paul in the build to his WrestleMania match to Owens, which he lost. Lost again to Owens at Hell in a Cell, and again to Owens in a qualifying match for Money in the Bank. Moving on to Survivor Series, he was initially a member of the team, but he was a victim, similar to Aaliyah, of all the wheeling and dealing going on, and he was swapped out for Jeff Hardy. But it's been quite eventful since then, because then he won the number one contender Battle Royal, but then, as we saw last week at the time of recording, he lost his title match to Roman Reigns in seconds because Brock Lesnar beat him up and they let the match go ahead anyway.
Now, I think Sami Zayn's had a fantastic year, but there's one major sticking point for me. They just seem to have forgotten. They've done that classic WWE thing of building up a fantastic storyline and you want to see the crescendo, but then the crescendo is forgotten about, and that is Jack the Jobber, Gary YouTube, the documentary.
Oh, the documentary, we never saw it.
The conspiracy theory. He brought in Logan Paul, of course, as his VIP to WrestleMania, wherever it was. He was there, got stunned out of his shoes, out of his cleats. But we didn't get to see the documentary. And Sammy keeps referencing it here today at the end of 2021. So hopefully one day we do get to see it. But I think it's been a strong year for Sami Zayn.
I think it's been a strong year in terms of his performances. But he's one of those wrestlers who's so talented, he can take whatever's given to him and make a good
chicken
salad out of chicken.
Chicken salad.
Yeah. But the booking of him has been really inconsistent. But how much of that, we can't blame that on Sammy, but does it affect his placing on this list?
I think, if I just had to look at Sami Zayn's in a vacuum, I'd put it lovely, lovely, lovely. Man.
Yeah, okay then.
He's on SmackDown every single week, which we can't say for all of Sami Zayn's time on the main roster. He goes missing from time to time and years gone by. But now, he's in the ring with Brock Lesnar, for goodness sake.
Absolutely, not
and that
doing
means
very
something.
Well, but you know.
That means something, though, to share the ring with Brock.
The drawback of his heel run is that he wrestles like a coward.
Yeah.
But he's really good at it, and he's always a highlight of SmackDown. So that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I think I'd agree with that.
Lovely.
Next up, we have a tag team, Los Lotharios.
This will be a thrilling year.
Well, you'll be surprised. Well, Humberto Carrillo, as he was then known, spent the first half of the year losing continuously to US champion Sheamus, while Angel was mainly a part of the 24/7 division, losing the belt in early January too.
Who?
Do you want to guess?
Losing which belt?
The 24/7 championship.
Santa Claus?
The Boogeyman.
Close.
But they formed a heel tag team together in September and were drafted to SmackDown, where Angel has recently beaten Rick Boogs in the Thanksgiving leftover throwdown. And they've been feuding with, yeah, Boogs and Nakamura ever since.
This is a case of 2022 will be there, yeah, surely. Because I like Los Lotharios as an outfit, just looking at them. They're both outstandingly handsome. Some might even call them sexy, Jack. Yeah. Would you call them sexy?
Yeah, and beautiful, probably.
And beautiful. Yeah. They are sab.
Sexy and beautiful. Team sab, yeah.
But not only that, but they're putting together fantastic manoeuvres in the professional wrestling ring. They've had a couple of finishes on the most recent SmackDowns, the one where Satya, which involved kicks and holds and power bombs and all this sort of stuff. So next year looks bright for the tag team ranks on SmackDown with these two in it. But as for 2021, when you look at the talent they both have, it's got to be the bin.
Oh, the bin.
It's got to be the bin.
Oh, the bin. Not just about Bearable because of this new tag team.
Should we put them Bearable just because of they do work as a tag team.
If that had never happened, then it would be bin, definitely. But next year could be a vast improvement on that.
Underutilized.
They could also be totally forgotten about. It's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. Moving on to Sheamus, who turned heel early on. Oh, straight away?
Straight away.
Turned heel very early in the year, attacking his friend Drew McIntyre and claiming he was sick of being known as just Drew's friend. Feuded with him unsuccessfully, eventually losing the blow-off no-holds-barred match at Fastlane, which I do believe was fantastic.
The big one. The big bad booty daddy where they jumped off the Thunderdome crowd thing.
Yes.
And then Sheamus went backstage and he saw Big Dick Tony. And he's like, I love you, bro. Yeah. I love you, bro. Oh, that was heart-wrenching.
He then beat Riddle at WrestleMania to become US champion.
Shockingly so.
And then had a weird feud with Humberto Carrillo where he just kept beating him lots of times and sometimes Carrillo would...
He broke his nose.
It was like an open challenge. He did. It was like an open challenge, but sometimes Carrillo would just attack him beforehand. Sometimes there was interference. It was odd. It was very odd. Then he lost the title to Damian Priest at SummerSlam, was unable to win it back on several occasions, including that triple threat with Jeff Hardy at Extreme Rules. Then he was drafted to SmackDown and was part of the losing Survivor Series team, and now he's friends with Ridge Holland.
You've done a stelling job with these notes.
Thank you.
Sterling
Cheers.
Job.
Thank you.
Stella.
Smart mark, Sterling.
Stella,
job.
Yeah. I reckon best for Sheamus. Just because you think about all the matches he's had. Yes, some of them are a bit like underwhelming in terms of the stakes involved and their placement on the card, but they're always good, aren't they? He has had a bad match this year.
He's actually better than he was when he was younger.
Yes.
And he's 40. 40? He's at least 40.
73.
It's crazy.
It's incredible.
He's incredible, yeah. Yeah,
do you want to go best?
Yeah,
he's
why not?
He's had a fantastic year as Sheamus.
Why not?
And when you look at his gimmick, it is basically just the same as it has been for a while. Bit less Celtic warriorish, more boozy Irishman.
Yeah.
I concede that, but it still is the same at the core.
Yeah.
So he's doing wonders, I think, Sheamus at the minute.
I'd agree with that. We've got his former tag partner, next, Cesaro, who beat Daniel Bryan on SmackDown early in the year. Remember that? Remember his push?
The first half of the year had so much promise, didn't it, for Cesaro?
Turned face shortly afterwards, then went into a feud with Seth Rollins, who he beat at WrestleMania. Everyone was waiting for the swing, and it happened. Then he was pushed to a title shot against Roman Reigns, lost at WrestleMania Backlash, and was attacked by Rollins afterwards, which was odd. It was all just a feud to get Seth his win back, and he lost twice to Seth in the aftermath. He was eliminated from King of the Ring by Balor, and is currently feuding with Ridge Holland.
Wow. What could have been for Cesaro? I feel like him getting inserted into the Universal title picture is a fantastic example, not only of WWE just came into the fans for once, that was nice,
that was
but also of someone just being fed to Roman Reigns to make Roman Reigns look better, but the guy who was fed to him coming out of it not looking better.
It was a weird one because it was a lose-lose booking situation for WWE, because if Cesaro had won, everyone would have been happy, but Roman's story would have ended or severely dipped. But if Roman won, which he did, we all feared Cesaro's push would disappear. And it has.
And it has
massively.
Done. He's still good, though, isn't he?
The first half of the year was spectacular as well.
Yeah. The first half of the year has been as good as it's been since 2014 in terms of a singles competitor for Cesaro.
Probably, yeah.
He's been excellent in the tag team ranks since then. But I reckon, excuse me, as I burp while talking. Sorry. What do you reckon? All right.
It's all right or lovely. But did the first half of the year, was that good enough to outweigh the bad follower?
Go on then, we'll put it lovely for the first half of the year.
Okay.
He won at WrestleMania, for goodness sake. He had that WrestleMania moment.
Charlotte Flair. So she began 2021 as the women's tag team champion alongside Asuka, which I'd totally forgotten about.
Oh, because everyone thought she was going to turn heel on Asuka.
And she didn't.
But she didn't.
They just lost them to Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler at the Rumble on the Rumble pre-show due to interference from Lacey Evans and Ric Flair. Yes, that was this year.
Oh, my God.
That was this year.
when Ric Flair, remember, got Lacey Evans pregnant. That was the storyline, wasn't it?
A feud that was called off due to Lacey Evans' real-life pregnancy.
caused by Ric Flair.
Yes. Well, alleged. No, not even alleged. It's just not true. Charlotte then had several shots at Rhea Ripley's Raw Women's Championship and eventually beat her for it at Money in the Bank, but lost it the following night to Miss Money in the Bank, Nikki A.S.H., but then she beat her at SummerSlam and won it back. Then she beat Alexa Bliss in that weird match at Extreme Rules with the puppet.
Oh, yeah. When and Bliss then Alexa had a breakdown at Mania Senior.
Before being drafted to SmackDown and swapping belts with Becky Lynch, and then she lost to her at Survivor Series, kind of. Now she's in a pie-based feud with Toni Storm.
Ooh, I love the pie. I don't know what to make of Charlotte yet. It hasn't been as overbearing as other years.
Oh, she also had a real fight with Nia Jax in the ring.
Oh, yeah, she had a real fight with Nia Jax. That was fun. Then they tried to do it the next week and it came off as not as good.
Yeah.
Because they tried to rehash something like that.
Yeah.
It's always weird with Charlotte Flair because she is overbooked.
Yeah.
To the hilt. But that's not really her fault. She's been chosen
by the office.
Yeah, just doing what she's been told, apart from that one segment with two segments. The first with Nia Jax and the second with Becky Lynch in the ring with the title swaps and all that malarkey.
Although it did make an interesting feud out of a match that we've seen way loads of times before.
I still think there was a little chance for it being a bit fake. Yeah, it's still circumstantial, isn't it? They said circumcision then. That's not the right thing at all. She's never boring. That's one thing to say about Charlotte Flair. And 2021's been a case of that. So it's got to be All Right Lovely tier. Not the best tier, but All Right Lovely tier, I reckon.
Which one?
I reckon on par with Big Dick Tony, if we're going to go there. It's always newsworthy, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And again,
her being put in these positions isn't her fault. She's not going to go, oh, no, Vince, I think I should take a step back for a couple of months.
That is true. Yeah. That's very true.
The woman. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with that. I'd have maybe put her in All Right, but... our rules have reversed this time, and you are the...
We'll go bottom of lovely. Okay.
Toni Storm next, the woman she's feuding with. Obviously, she began the year in NXT and also was entering in the Rumble. Then she feuded with the champion Io Shirai, but lost. Then she exchanged wins with Zoe Stark before being called up to SmackDown, and despite being a heel, she was now just immediately a face. Defeated Zelina Vega in her SmackDown debut, but then lost to her in the first round of the Queen's Cup. Then she was the one who replaced Aaliyah in the losing Survivor Series SmackDown team before challenging Charlotte Flair and getting pied in the face and doing nothing, but then she pied her back last Friday at time of recording and
plotted cream.
And then Charlotte, very good. And then Charlotte did nothing back upon being pied. So pies really immobilise people in WWE.
Kevin Owens is another example of that.
Yes.
The kryptonite of all professional wrestlers is pie.
Apart from The Rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he loves the pie. Different kind of pie, though.
Oh.
Scandalous pie. I reckon Toni Storm is in a similar bracket to Los Lotharios in that 2022 surely will far supersede 2021.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Should we put them next to there?
Go on, then.
It has been strange here. I'm very happy, I should say, that they're turning down on the 80s stuff. Because when she first rocked up on SmackDown, she was something as Joan Jett. She was as David Bowie. Yeah. She was something as, I don't know, Alice Cooper, White Snake. I forget what they said. But she was all very 80s.
Duran.
Yeah, toned it down, thankfully. Yes. Boy George. Didn't say Boy George. Oh, it was more rocking than Boy George.
Drew McIntyre next, Big Drew. Started the year as WWE champion on Raw. Beat Keith Lee on Legends Night. Remember Keith Lee? Yeah, don't forget
Bloody about hell.
Beat Goldberg at the Royal Rumble. Huge.
Thank God that happened. Remember that? Everyone's scared that Goldberg was going to win.
Retained it in the Elimination Chamber, but then was cashed in on by The Miz. Then tried to win it back multiple times, but lost to Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania and in a triple threat at WrestleMania Backlash and inside a Hell in a Cell match. Then moved into a very sword-based feud with Jinder Mahal and his cronies, eventually beating him at SummerSlam. Then moved to SmackDown, but still challenged Big E for the title of Crown Jewel because it was that weird period before the move had actually been made. Lost that match, but it was a good match. And is currently issuing open challenges on SmackDown, getting angry at Adam Pearce and swinging his sword about.
So it's been a weird year for Drew McIntyre. First and foremost, we have to mention Angela. Obviously, the name of his real-life mom, who sadly passed away.
Yes.
But also, has to be a wink and a nod to a massive penis.
Do you reckon?
It's got to be the way that was brought back. Yeah, Adam Pearce in the ring making references to winkies and whatnot. Mm. I remember all that stuff. And Drew McIntyre as well, of course, in 2021, became a historian. For a few weeks, which was really, really bad.
Yeah,
so bad.
Started off with Scottish history, but then just branched out.
Churchill was in there.
All the British Isles.
Some fella with a crab or something, wasn't there, for a bit?
What
on earth was going on there? I think Drew said in an interview, didn't he, that they made sure to stop that just before the fans came back.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have heard what for. Losing all those big matches.
But winning a few big matches.
The sword's fine as a gimmick, I guess. But the way it was brought about with the winks and the nudges and whatnot, the historian stuff was terrible.
I still maintain that Drew was meant to win at Mania and it was a last minute switcheroo.
That was a shock how he, because it was the first match back after the pandemic for fans. You'd expect the big babyface Drew to get the big win over the big heel Bob.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
After
he
the
lost.
Rain as well, he cut that promo when it was raining and he was all over the... Not, it was a good promo because he was fired up.
Yeah.
But what if the initial plan, if the plan all along was to have him lose to Bobby, what was the point of the Miz transitioning the belt to Bobby in the first, just have Bobby beat him for the belt?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was very strange.
But is it like Cesaro's year, which started off well, but with the lows,
a much smaller period of wellness, wasn't it?
Yeah, true.
All right, I'm going to suggest. I'll for Drew McIntyre, remember this is Drew McIntyre we're speaking about.
Which is a shame, because he missed out on his big moment because of the lockdown in 2020, and sad.
Then again, I guess we were saying after the feud with Orton, maybe it was time for Drew to, you know, come down a bit before going back up again.
Maybe we'll
we're never going to keep him down. Chumba Wumba.
What a tune. Chumba Wumba.
Whatever they're called.
Yeah. The Viking Raiders next. Oh. Missed out on a lot due to injury and stuff.
Yeah.
Eric took part in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which wasn't at WrestleMania. It was on the SmackDown before WrestleMania. And then Ivar returned from injury shortly afterwards with the Vikings beating Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin on Raw. Then the next week, replaying that entire segment. Do you remember that? They just beat them in exactly the same match. It was weird. Then they won a Battle Royal to face AJ and Omos, but lost at Money in the Bank in the title match. Drafted to SmackDown and haven't done a great deal since.
They were on last week's show with a new theme. Yes. We're sat here on December the 7th. This is the day we're recording this. Anything happens after that and before this gets published, we're sorry, but we need to backdate the content for the Christmas so we can go home and see our lovely families.
Absolutely.
Bin. Got a big bin, hasn't it? This is the Viking Raiders we're speaking about, for goodness sake.
Yeah, it's
who have had a rough time of it in WWE, not just because of injury, but also because of creative.
And I don't get why they've been so intent on making them comedy figures.
Do we go bin?
Yeah, we go bin.
Because they're big, fat Vikings. Well, Ivar, technically.
Aye, but they...
My words, the words of Vince McMahon, of course.
But of course, but they look really hard anyway. And why are they in turkey legs? And I know it wasn't this year, but that feud with the Street Profits.
I remember War Machine.
I remember
That's
War
what
Machine.
They could be. That's what they should be.
Every bloody match in WCPW, it's War Machine rules. You know what that means?
there are no rules.
Then they'd have a hardcore. To be fair, the crowd loved it every time.
Every time.
Yep.
they were good, though.
Oh, yes. Next up, a man who I really love.
I'm going to suggest, before you even talk about him, just say the best.
Yeah, maybe,
the roller coaster ride that has been Happy Corbin's 2021 has been sensational.
He began the year as King Corbin, feuding with the Mysterios and Murphy.
That's a down point of the year.
Alongside his partners at the time, Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler, which was abandoned after their release as that storyline got scrapped.
Yeah.
Then he feuded with Nakamura and lost his crown and lost everything. And began begging for money, getting mugged by those dirty dogs backstage.
This was the high point of the year for Happy Corbin.
Set up a GoFundMe page.
His hair was grown out, his wife left him, he lost all of his investments, he lost all of his money.
He was asking the crowd for a casual $100,000.
The security guard wouldn't let him in the arena because he looked different to the picture of him on the truck. Yeah. He had stubble and a crappy beard and it was fantastic.
But then,
trip to Las Vegas happened.
When they went through Las Vegas, he turned his fortunes around, becoming the filthy rich Happy Corbin and finding a new best friend in the form of Madcap Moss. I love Happy Talk. The segment's brilliant. The one last week at the time of recording, he goes, Madcap Moss goes, what do you call Jeff Hardy if he was a woman and had a child? Swanton Mom. And Corbin, it's the reactions that make it, because Corbin's nearly had enough. The joke's too funny. He starts to get up. He's like, oh, no. Stop it, Madcap
Moss. What do you make of Happy Corbin coming out dressed like a young buck who pioneered... the co-ord, I think they're called. I should know that because I buy them myself now these days for predictions. Co-ords, they're called, with the shirt and shorts matching combination.
As a heel who just takes the proverbial...
Just the fact it's the same as what they do in
AEW. I don't mind at all. I think he looks great in it.
Co-ords for all.
It's funny as well. Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
I do like when Pat says, you've got graffiti on your legs, Happy Corbin.
Oh, his tattoos.
His tattoos, yeah. He's got them out for the first time, hasn't he?
Very nasty.
It's the best, yeah.
Madcap, 100%. We're following that up with Madcap Moss, his best pal, who returned from injury in September, so he hasn't had a long year, attacking Kevin Owens and aligning with Happy Corbin. Hasn't had too many matches, mainly assisting Corbin and co-hosting Happy Talk with him, but did beat Nakamura and Boogs in a trick or street fight, then lost to Jeff Hardy in singles action, and lost to Jeff and Drew, who are kind of allies now, in a tag match alongside Corbin. So
Jeff and Drew, just quickly, are sort of like Chip and Dale's at the moment.
They
take the clothes of the person they're beating up, and then they just do their dancing, don't they? Drew doing his gyrating.
They wear the hats recently.
Yeah. Saucy.
It's not been as spectacular as he's been more of like a boost to Corbin than a good year in his own right.
And I would argue that Corbin doesn't even need him.
Oh!
I would argue that.
I love those happy talk segments. I really
is it,
really
is it Madcap Moss that makes those happy talk segments?
No,
for you?
but he adds to it. He adds to it a bit.
It's a weird one because do we compare this like on years gone by for Riddick Moss, the offensive linesman in WWE, or do we just put this in a vacuum and just say how it was in a vacuum?
Defensive lineman. If he's linesman, he's probably running him down the touchline.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going to argue for all right.
Because you would say, in terms of Riddick Moss's career so far, and Duray, it's been the best year so far.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But in terms of a vacuum, he's not done much, has he? He's there. He's in the running. That's what I'm looking for.
But, yeah, it's fair enough.
Where are we going, then?
I think probably bearable. But can we put him top of bearable?
We'll put top of Los Lotharios there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Next up, we have Jeffrey Nero Hardy, who started 2021 in a feud with Elias.
Did that one keep going on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks? One of those ones.
I can't quite remember. I've just got here that he beat him and Jackson Ryker with the help of a briefly returning Carlito.
God, remember the all-American babyface Jackson Ryker?
Yes, I do. Jeff entered both the Royal Rumble and the Elimination Chamber, but lost in both. Brought back No More Words, and as you've pointed out, he started winning more matches because of it.
He went from a solid 81 out of 100 rating to a solid 92.
If it was the Raw vs SmackDown games.
Yeah, back in the day.
SmackDown vs Raw. And became the first man to pin NXT champion Karrion Kross, although he did lose a rematch to him.
That was bizarre.
It was bad booking for Karrion Kross. Then Jeff unsuccessfully challenged Damian Priest for the US title, feuded briefly with Austin Theory before being drafted to SmackDown, and almost won the traditional Survivor Series match. He was last eliminated by Seth Rollins.
He was sort of just there for the early parts of the year because he was Jeff Hardy and he's a living legend.
Yeah.
A living legend. Then he went over Jeff Hardy, even in 2021, still has a modicum of rub to it, if you know what I'm saying. Mm. But then it's been nice to see, and I don't know where they've been. I know they went to Jeff's hometown on a recent SmackDown. Well, North Kakalaki anyway, close to where he lives or from. But since the sort of second part of the year, things have picked up for Jeff quite dramatically, and rightfully so, if he's still getting those crowd reactions, which he is.
He always does.
Yeah.
We should point out at the time of recording, hopefully he's all right.
Oh, yeah, hopefully
he's going through some bad times and stuff. But at the moment, what do we look at? Where do we put his year in the tier list?
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because it is a year of two halves. The first year he was just there. The second half of the year, since the move to SmackDown especially, it's picked up a bit more, hasn't it?
Yeah.
No More Words has helped as well.
Do you think it's all right?
Top of all right, I'd
Top
say.
Top of all right.
I'd say it's been more all right than in relation to Drew McIntyre's all right year.
Yeah.
Because Drew's year should have been better than Jeff's year. If that makes sense.
It does.
Because Drew's more in his pomp than Jeff is today.
It was more disappointing for Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Naomi's next. Who's always being treated badly. First she teamed with Lana and unsuccessfully challenged for the women's tag titles against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Then ended that tag team turmoil match on night one of WrestleMania, but didn't get through. Then qualified for the Money in the Bank ladder match, winning a tag match alongside Asuka, and they both got in, but she didn't win that one either. So it was all she was kind of just there. They're just filling in as part of the women's roster on Raw. Drafted to SmackDown, where she continues to be screwed over every week by Sonya Deville for unknown reasons so far.
Now, as we're sat here on the 7th of December, the previous SmackDown tour sat here, Sonya said, "As long as I've got the suits on, you can't touch me. But when I put my gear back on, we'll do the wrestling." So hopefully that's happened by the time this goes live. Who knows what could happen? We still don't know. We don't have any inkling, do we, as to why Sonya Deville hates Naomi.
Being set up for day one.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows?
We don't know why, and I'm worried that they're just never going to explain it now.
Yeah.
They've skipped a bit where they explain it, and now they're talking about a match.
Because Sonya's basically said, "I've got no issue with you. What are you talking about?" That's what she said so far.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not the conclusion. Hopefully there's a scandalous reason as to why Sonya hates Naomi, and we get a proper juicy storyline. There's a fine line between juicy and crass, though, isn't there?
There is, yeah, there is. Where do we put this?
It's got to be bearable, I've been. Because she's still been a highlight on SmackDown when she's done the wrestling. It's just it's been few and far between, hasn't it?
Maybe bearable then for Naomi.
And it is Naomi, remember. A lady who once upon a time, I learned this year, was told to tone it down in terms of like athleticism because she was showing up the boys.
Why is that a bad thing?
I don't know.
Oh, it's very silly.
Yeah.
The Usos are next. Jay began the year aligned with Roman and won. I didn't remember this. He won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Goodness
on SmackDown.
Me, he did as well.
He did. Jimmy returned from injury in May and didn't initially approve of Jay's alliance with Roman, But then he did. Then he was fine.
Yeah.
Even after wearing that shirt that said nobody's bitch.
Did you buy that shirt? If you did, please send me a picture of you in public wearing that shirt.
They won their fifth SmackDown Tag Team title, just the fifth SmackDown Tag Team titles, from the Mysterios at Money in the Bank, retained them at SummerSlam, then won a feud against the Street Profits, but they did lose to RK-Bro in an on-title champion versus champion match at Survivor Series.
I'll tell you what the highlight of the year has been for the Usos.
Being with Roman Reigns.
A backstage segment with Roman Reigns. Where Roman was like, "Oh, I wasn't here last week, and SmackDown was almost as bad as Raw." And Jimmy Uso does the Tony Pulis laugh, and it's fantastic. Fantastic. Excuse me again. I had hot rice for dinner.
That's all right.
Hey, what am I talking about here? Usos. Mm. Lovely, 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 isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Because what I've read there doesn't paint the full picture.
No.
They've been an important part of Roman Reigns' amazing storyline.
They do his dirty work for him. They keep his name on TV. And when they won the tag team titles off the Mysterios, you might be thinking, oh, the Usos were being down this road before with the SmackDown tag team titles. But I go back to that time of the year and everyone was like, no, they need to win.
Yeah.
They need to win.
How good is their entrance going to be at day one? It's in the name of the song.
Down since day one-ish.
Oh, it's going to be
fun. Round and about that ballpark.
Yeah.
Could have been the 2nd of January.
Yeah, true. King Woods, he won the Raw Tag Titles back from the Hurt Business alongside Kofi in March. Lost them to AJ and Omos at Mania, which was a great match, actually, even if it was more to get Omos over. Then had a mammoth, I've put here, Tag Team Gauntlet performance on Raw in August, where he wrestled, like, a lot of the show.
This has been the thing with Xavier Woods this year. He's gone from just being, like... A few years ago, he was scared of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And he's developed into a really solid tag team wrestler. And now this year, he's developed in kayfabe terms, and I guess in reality terms as well, one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Does everything.
Maybe he always had it in him and he's just never been given a chance.
Of course he did.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is the way he was booked back in the day.
He won King of the Ring, beating Ricochet, Jinder, and then Finn Balor in the final in Crown Jewel. Then he was drafted over to SmackDown and clashed with Roman Reigns with the crown and everything, wrestling him to a no contest in the main event of SmackDown on November the 12th.
Is it the best?
Yeah, Woods has got to go in the best.
Xavier Woods gagged. He was gagging for the King of the Ring to be made a thing.
Yes,
I don't know where that word came from. He petitioned. That's the right word.
Yeah.
I'm tired here today. He petitioned for that to happen for many years on Twitter, and it finally happened, and he won the bloody thing.
Yes.
In Saudi Arabia, no less.
Absolutely.
So the boyhood dream definitely came true there for Xavier Woods.
100%. Kofi Kingston, his tag partner, I'd argue a less spectacular year.
He's been injured for a while this year.
He was injured for a while, and he took time off
because
his wife had a kid,
Baby child.
He won the Raw Tag Titles alongside Woods, as I've just said, then lost them at WrestleMania. Then he was kind of in the main event scene again on Raw, beating Randy Orton and Bobby Lashley in the same night on Raw. Well, did he? Was that Woods? Was that Kofi?
I don't know.
I've got no idea now.
You made the notes.
I know, what have I done? He lost a number one contender's feud to Drew. I remember that.
Yes.
He would eventually get his title shot against Lashley, losing to him at Money in the Bank. Then was part of that huge tag team gauntlet performance alongside Woods. Then lost to Jinder in the first round of King of the Ring. Now he's on SmackDown, and he's only recently, as we record this, come back.
It was the very last SmackDown we saw, wasn't it?
As of the 7th of December. Back, the Hand of the King.
Sir Kofi Kingston. Mm. Obviously, the time off doesn't help, does it? So,
no.
Is it all right for Kofi?
Yeah, I'd say
with an
all
asterisk
right.
next to it?
Yeah. It's not his fault.
It's got to be.
But
stick him in all right.
But he's still, to be fair, it was always going to be hard for him because this is the year for Xavier and Big E.
Yeah.
So it's hard for him to stand out. But he's had his.
He's had his goal. He still plays a vital role, though, doesn't
he? Yeah, absolutely.
Just being part of the New Day and whatnot. So.
But not as vital a role in the general wrestling landscape as Mace. Oh, don't just put him straight in.
He's straight in the bin, isn't he? He was one of those nerds stood there going, oh my God, it's a golden egg! Ah!
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh. He began 2021 as part of Retribution, but attacked Mustafa Ali alongside T-Bar to disband the group. They attacked their leader. Then he unmasked a few weeks later and began a tag run with T-Bar.
A spooky jungle perverts.
Yeah, spooky jungle perverts. Were they called Extinction? Was that them?
Something like that. Yeah. They're all about eating prey, and then he said his line...
Submissive and breedable. And
yeah,
weird.
It was all weird. Very
weird.
Very different vibes,
They had a brief feud, but believe it or not, with the Lucha House Party, which I don't really
remember.
Then beat Ali and Mansoor, but lost to Mansoor in singles action, Mace did, the following week. He was then drafted to SmackDown as a singles wrestler without T-Bar, And hasn't been seen much.
It was just that kickoff segment, wasn't it?
He also took part in the Black Friday Invitational Battle Royal, but was eliminated by Madcap Moss.
I mean, that's no slight against his name, because Madcap Moss, he's on fire, as we've learned so far during this tier. He's just about bearable. But Mace has got to go.
SmackDown this week again.
Mace has got to go in the bin.
Yeah, he does, I'm afraid.
He's a big man. And I'm sure we haven't really had the chance to see if he's a good wrestler or not, to be honest with you. Yeah. And I'm sure he's got to be okay to be signed with the World Wrestling Federation.
He squared up to Brock Lesnar when he was a commentator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a bloody massive man, isn't he?
He is
thinking about it. But he's got to do better next year. I'll be booked better, I should say. I'm saying this as if they're the masters of their own destiny here, but they're not, are they?
No, not at all.
They're at the whim of the pencil.
Madcap Moss, on that Happy Talk segment this week, said that it was great. He had so much fun eliminating everybody early on in the Battle Royal. Then Corbin goes, "And when I eliminated you, wasn't that a hilarious prank?" And Moss goes, "Yeah, it was fine." What a great guy. Ridge Holland, another great, great northern man. Returned from injury, again, didn't have too long a year because he returned from injury midway through, but he returned from injury on NXT to help Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan, but then shortly afterwards helped Dunne kick Lorcan and Danny Burch out of the group, and then it was just him and Pete Dunne.
I want you all for me own there, Peter.
He lost his final NXT appearance, tagging with Dunne against Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner.
Oh my God.
Then was drafted to SmackDown alone. Arrived on SmackDown as a huge Sheamus fan. Him and the lads back in the pub in Yorkshire watch Sheamus all the time.
We watched them win the Rumble.
Yeah.
We watched them cash in money in bank. It was lovely.
And now he's been helping him with matches and feuding with Cesaro because he's jealous because Cesaro used to be Sheamus' tag partner.
Yeah. I mean, we're still very much in the getting to know you.
Yeah.
Getting to know all about you. Phase of Ridge Holland on SmackDown. And his NXT run this year didn't do much for me.
No.
There was a match he lost in NXT which came out of the blue. Did he? Or am I misremembering this?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
He had a shocker on a recent SmackDown again as West sat here on the 7th of December where he lost a match to Cesaro and then later on in that Black Friday Battle Royal got eliminated by Cesaro.
Oh.
So that was a double whammy I didn't see coming so early into his run.
Yeah.
Bearable?
Yeah. Yeah,
this is Ridge Holland we're speaking about here.
I'd say bearable.
We'll go back.
There you go. Mansoor spent the first half of the year on 205 Live and main event only, but was called up to Raw in May, unsuccessfully challenging Sheamus for the US Championship because Humberto Carrillo interfered and caused a DQ, which apparently ended Mansoor's winning streak.
Doesn't count.
He'd never been beaten until then. Then he had that uneasy alliance with Mustafa Ali, with Ali trying to test.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What do you mean uneasy now? Was that in terms of their relationship or just watching it?
No, their relationship. Because I thought they both performed it well.
They were all right,
especially Ali, who's a great promo.
I guess this isn't a sea of can they coexist storyline, so maybe it was a bit lost on me.
I had more issue with the way it abruptly ended because it was developing, it was going somewhere. Ali was starting to like save him from beatdowns and turn good, and then eventually betrayed him backstage after losing to the Hurt Business. Mansoor challenged Ali to a match at Crown Jewel and obviously won, and was then drafted to SmackDown, and we haven't really seen much of him since.
No, but the Saudi Arabia streak lives on, oh, crucially. Does. That's absolutely the most important thing.
He's the undertaker of WWE's deal with Saudi Arabia.
It's clear that Mansoor is a very charismatic man.
Yes.
It's just been booked pretty naffly so far.
They don't care about him unless it's time for the build to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. And that puts him in bearable. I would suggest that the Saudi streak win keeps him out the bin.
Yeah. Because it was a good match as well. He's good.
It's clear that he gets it. You know, those wrestlers who just get the sort of humour of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
He's one of those that gets it. And he could do a lot more, but they're not letting him do that. And it's quite infuriating.
It is sad. I thought he was good next to go to Mustafa Ali, who lost the support of Retribution, as we've talked about when we're talking about Mace, after failing to beat Riddle on the Fastlane pre-show for the US title. Then he had a feud on Main Event, which I didn't know about, but when I was researching this, I found out he had a feud on Main Event with Ricochet, which culminated in a 2 out of 3 falls match that went about 19 minutes.
I bet that was good.
Yeah, I bet it was really good. I've never seen it, and no. I never will. But what a match. He lost that match, but I'm sure you're right. It was probably really good. Should have probably been on TV.
Yeah.
Then he faked an injury to beat Mansoor, which was the start of their weird relationship, before teaming with him to beat his old stablemates, T-Bar and Mace, temporarily becoming a face, then turning on Mansoor in the build to Crown Jewel, losing to Mansoor Crown Jewel, beating him down afterwards, and then that silver medalist karate or kickboxer man came out and battered him.
Yes.
And he was drafted to SmackDown.
It's a case of what might have been for Ali again this year because of Retribution first and foremost. I guess it was dead in the water by the time 2021 came around. But still, I think they could have made something of that group.
Yeah.
Just getting rid of all the nonsense. Then, I don't know if you saw this on social media, the sort of like, he was like presidential in a promo that they made for the show, but it didn't make the show. And he was sort of like explaining how he could bring in a new America, but playing on the... It was like the very jealous of the... oh my God, Muhammad Hassan gimmick way back in the day before it turned the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it was that sort of shades of that. And that could have been good.
Where he's like a heel, but he's... You can kind of get it. You can understand.
You can see why he's upset because of how he's treating America and whatnot. And he could bring in a new America and change everything and make everything lovely. Mm. But under the guise... Well, I guess he's a babyface under the guise of a heel, if that makes any sense.
One of the two. It depends how honest his intentions are.
Yeah, it sounded pretty honest.
But we've thought more about his character there than WWE have.
Yes, we have. So. And it's just a case of what might have been a game, much like Mansoor. Yeah. Obviously, a very talented... We've been through this a million times when it comes to Mustafa Ali. Mm. Bearable again, you'd say, wouldn't you?
Which is a shame, because pound for pound, I think he's one of the best wrestlers on
WWE. Yeah, just let him be a babyface. Why not?
Of course.
Yeah.
Jai Lee started the year very strong in NXT because she was part of Mei Ying's stable.
Tian Sha.
And she kind of took on some powers and started squashing people. Beat Casey Catanzaro, beat Caden Carter, beat Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter in the same match.
Looking menacing and ass kicking while doing so, by the way.
Yes, feuded with Mercedes Martinez and beat her at TakeOver In Your House. Challenged Raquel Gonzalez for the title, but failed to win that one.
She got concussed there as well. Remember.
She got injured in the match,
Not saying she would have won anyway.
No.
But I'm saying she would have probably put on... Well, she would have put on a much better show.
Oh, yeah. Now she's been drafted to SmackDown, and at the time we record this, she's yet to debut, but there's been a series of vignettes where she's the protector.
Story time with Jai Lee, baby. I murdered this man 20 years ago. I murdered this man 20 years ago.
It's quite a startling confession.
Two murders we've seen so far, I think. Yeah,
she's also beaten up some muggers now.
Yes.
And maybe killed them.
Yeah, the landlord's been seen off. School bully's been seen off. And as he said, the group of frat boys. I think, in terms of Jai Lee, does this push it up into lovely? Or is that too far?
No, I think that's too far.
The Tian Sha stuff was good.
Yeah, it was good, but I don't think it pushes her into lovely quite.
Should we say all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The performance is different shade to what, because she was sort of happy-go-lucky before, and then she was still had the sort of martial art influences in there, but this year it was sort of being darker and meaner.
Yeah,
I'll bring in the thing I said about Bryan Danielson. His face has changed since he's become Bryan Danielson, like they say in the murderer documentaries. And I'd say the same about her as well,
because she's a murderer.
She is a murderer.
Shinsuke Nakamura up next, who turned face right at the start of the year because he performed really well in a number one contender's gauntlet match, even beating Daniel Bryan in that match and then shaking hands with him, kind of turned him face. But then he lost the gauntlet to eventual winner Adam Pearce due to Roman Reigns' interference. He then lost to Rollins at Fastlane as part of the build to Seth's match with Cesaro. That was kind of more as a vehicle for Cesaro's push. But then he aligned with newcomer Rick Boogs.
Then we went off to the races.
Feuded with King Corbin, stealing his crown and eventually beating him to become the new king. Corbin's career skyrocketed after that. He then relinquished the crown, I've learned, at the beginning of the new King of the Ring tournament, graciously, apparently. He's also, you might forget, the IC champion.
You might forget, because it seems to happen all the time with Shinsuke Nakamura and a main roster title. He wins the thing, then they just don't book him in matches.
Yeah. at least title matches.
Yeah.
He won the IC title from Apollo Crews on SmackDown, but from what I could tell, has only defended it once at the time of recording, beating Apollo Crews in a rematch. And that was it.
Piss poor, that.
That's really bad. He also faced the US champion Damian Priest on the Survivor Series pre-show and won by DQ because Priest got too angry.
The matches have been all right, but the storylines have been lacking, as it always has been the case with Shinsuke Nakamura on the main roster. Maybe AJ Styles and his nuts aside. WrestleMania 34 build.
Great view.
It's always fun to see him. Pat McAfee's added a lot to their package.
Oh, yes, he has.
Yes, he has.
He's really tried. All right.
He sort of regained his mojo a bit, but I put him in all right as well.
Yeah, which is a shame, because it's another case.
Him having the King's crown works, because he's Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah, he's like Freddie Mercury. He's the King of Strong Style, all that sort of stuff. But still, we need more storylines when it comes to Shinsuke Nakamura. Mm. And less of the segments where him and Rick Boogs just come out and have a dance with Pat McAfee, and that's the segment. That's a load of rubbish, that. I think, anyway.
Speaking of Rick Boogs, he's next. He appeared as the Old Spice representative in the build to WrestleMania.
A heartbreaking loss, was it?
Twice winning the 24... What?
Did he not lose to R-Truth in the end?
He won the 24-7 title in skits with R-Truth and Akira Tozawa, but only one of them is officially recognised at this point by WWE for whatever reason. I'm assuming he had to lose them as well because he won them and then lost them in a 24-7 belt. He eventually debuted on SmackDown as Rick Boogs, playing Shinsuke Nakamura to the ring. He won his debut in a tag match against Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz, and has also won singles matches against both members of the Dirty Dogs.
Very quickly as well, if memory serves.
He's getting the pinfall in tag matches with Nakamura.
Yeah.
If they lose a tag match, often he's not the one getting pinned. It's the current IC champion, Nakamura.
At him. Well, listen to him as well.
Yeah. They lost the trick or treat street fight against Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss, and lost the Thanksgiving Leftovers Throwdown singles match against Angel as well. So he's not getting gimmick matches on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I think it's been a pretty strong run for Rick Boogs here in 2021, which is only getting better and better and better as he does more wrestling. It's clear that he's a very charismatic man. He's a very muscular man. He can play the guitar very well indeed.
Yeah.
Not going to say anything?
No,
I thought
you'd
say something as a guitar aficionado.
He's better than me.
Yeah.
100%. But a lot of the time, you feel like it's a big ask to play it while you're getting ready for a match and remembering stuff. And no, he does a fine job.
Yeah, I think it's been... I reckon all right's a fair place to put Rick Boogs.
Okay.
I'm going to put Shinsuke Nakamura in there. I'd argue that Rick Boogs maybe steals Shinsuke Nakamura's sunshine. My God, I'm having a stroke
steals
today.
Steals his sunshine.
Steals his sunshine, that's what I was going to say.
Like
steals
Len?
His spotlight.
Like Len?
Yeah.
Oh, what tune. I think I agree with that.
More to come. Another case of more to come on SmackDown.
Yes. Aaliyah next. Another NXT call-up. She began 2021 as a member of the Robert Stone brand on NXT. Was knocked out the first round of the Dusty Classic alongside Jessie Kamea. Then she was teaming with Mercedes Martinez when she joined the Robert Stone brand. Unsuccessfully challenged for the women's tag titles against Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. She then angrily left the Robert Stone brand in July after losing a tag match against Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. Then she got drafted to SmackDown. Then she got the pinfall in her debut match, a six-woman tag alongside Sasha and
Naomi. And she stole the show there by being just a rootin' tootin' baby face.
Very pure baby face, which I'm surprised they never utilised on NXT when she was a heel. In doing so, she qualified for the Survivor Series team and then got removed by Sonya Deville from the team for maybe being friends with Naomi.
Yep, and then she's been seen in backstage segments since. I remember
hanging out with just various people.
Sami Zayn told her to get a pant suit. I remember that for some reason. I'm not too sure why. Then she just seems to hang around with the baby faces for the crack because she is also a baby face.
Yeah.
It sort of petered out after a very good start. She's brought a couple of innovative moves, I think, as well to her arsenal in matches. I remember being sat here about a year ago with Tom doing the NXT review, and we were saying for the first time Robert Stone had made people care about Aaliyah, and now we're sat here saying these glowing things about Aaliyah, which maybe shows they had quite a good year. The Robert Stone brand didn't go as far as it could have done, in my opinion. The sort of stuff with Taya Valkyrie sort of muddied the waters a bit, and then her departing there just brought that to an end, obviously.
Mandy Rose also keeping an eye on it?
Mandy was in the mix as well. It was a lot of who wants to take over the Robert Stone brand without overtly being who wants to take over the Robert Stone brand. I guess it's another one of those, Jack. Hey, another one of those. More to come in 2022.
Do you think it's bearable?
Maybe
pushes her into all right, though.
I'd say bearable. Yeah, not been enough, has there?
Yeah, there's not been enough. You're right. There's
not been
a few
enough,
weeks. Although by the time this goes out, maybe she'll have won the belt. No, she won't have done
it. I just want to say, in the order of these pictures, in the order of your script, you've forgotten a big name.
Have I?
He's a big dog.
Who?
He's a tribal chief.
I have.
He's at the top of your page
there. Don't worry, I've got him. Oh, my word. Thanks for that.
It's okay.
It's Roman Reigns.
You know him.
He's not done much this year. The notes for him are basically just a list of wins. He retained the Universal title against Kevin Owens in that last man standing match.
Good Royal match Rumble. As well, though.
Heyman
despite
helped
the finish.
Him out. With, oh, no, Heyman.
The referee.
The handcuffs. And
yeah.
Yes. Then he beat Daniel Bryan a couple of times. Then he won the main event of WrestleMania Night 2, pinning Edge and Bryan simultaneously.
Stack them. Pack them.
Yes.
Pancake them.
Oh, wreck everyone and leave. He beat Cesaro at WrestleMania Backlash, beat Rey Mysterio in a Hell in a Cell match, beat Edge again at Money in the Bank, beat John Cena at SummerSlam, but was then confronted by the returning Brock Lesnar.
Cena at SummerSlam?
Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, my God,
he did.
It was
a feud where Cena was... Cena was saying, I just need to roll you up, that's all I need to do.
Yes.
And he didn't. Well, he tried.
Bloody hell, that slipped my mind completely.
Yeah. Then Lesnar came out and confronted him, and everyone thought, ooh, here we go, finally a challenger, but Roman beat him at Crown Jewel after interference from the Usos and a big belt shot.
Which way will Paul go? Which way will Paul
go? That's still going on.
Yeah.
He also beat The Demon in weird circumstances at Extreme
Slippy
Rules.
Slippy turnbuckle.
Weird.
Bad craftsmanship from the ring crew there.
Very weird ending to the match. Probably my least favourite Reigns match, but that doesn't mean that he's had a bad year. It was comfortably the worst title defence of the year, but everything else was multiple levels above it. Also beat Big E at Survivor Series in the main event as well.
I would argue that the second half of 2020 was better than Roman Reigns' 2021.
Okay. What was that? What was my...
Jey Uso. Will he join Roman? Will he not join Roman? The fantastic drama of that Hell in a Cell match. I think all that supersedes what he's done in 2021 so far.
Fair enough. In my mind, it's on a similar level. I think he's carried on the form. I think it's been really good.
He's still got that thing though where he just feels like... I'll say this at the Culties, Jack. It's
okay.
A bit of a spoiler here. Well, no, not maybe. Well, maybe a bit of a spoiler. He's got that megastar feel that no one else has in WWE for me.
Yes,
and that
does.
Includes Brock Lesnar.
Oh!
Yeah, that includes Brock Lesnar. Aye.
He does. He carries himself like a star.
Like a star.
Yes.
Like a star.
Mm.
Is it best or is it lovely?
Oh, it's best for me.
Oh, put him in best.
Oh, it's best.
That thing is nagging the back of my brain, which someone pointed out on Twitter recently, which... As we said earlier, all of his feuds benefit him, but don't benefit the other person in the feud.
Oh, that is very true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
That's eating away at my core. But I'll go for the best, because he is Roman Reigns, and he is a star.
Fair enough. I've grouped the next two together, because they've largely been together.
Yeah, they should be grouped together.
Jinder Mahal and Shanky, because Veer is still coming to Raw.
Veer is walking to Monday Night Raw from India by foot.
Yeah.
He's taking his time.
Then he gets to the venue, and they've gone. He has to walk to the next city. Jinder returned from injury at the Superstar Spectacle. Do you remember for the Indian audience? Probably.
Why didn't the UK get one of them?
I know.
All the big names on that show.
Teaming with the Singh brothers in a losing effort to Drew McIntyre and Inder Shah, who had one member, I think they had Veer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other fella who spoiled the NXT result.
Then he was absent for a while, Jinder, but turned up again on Raw, this time with Veer and Shanky now. Feuded with former friend Drew McIntyre and cost him the Money in the Bank ladder match, but then lost to him at SummerSlam in the blow-off match. Then Jinder and Shanky have been drafted to SmackDown recently, with Jinder making it to the King of the Ring semi-finals. Then they had a brief rivalry with Hit Row, and I've said here, where Shanky spat some vicious bars.
So vicious. Hit Row were never seen again.
Yeah.
In the lore of WWE.
It's an uncomfortable bit of WWE canon.
It is.
Yeah.
The Drew Fuse did nothing for me. There was a motorbike involved.
Oh, there was a sword.
Yeah, apart from that, it's done nothing for me.
No.
Is it bearable, is it bin?
It's bearable. Oh, it's bearable.
We'll go bearable.
You just... Bottom of bearable, I think.
It's not been very good, has it, Virginia?
It hasn't been very good, no.
Not
He's
at
better
all.
Than that.
I don't
it's
know what to say.
But yeah.
The Hit Row stuff had a bit of promise, and then it ended, and it's not their fault, obviously. It's Nick Khan's fault. I assume it's Nick Khan's
fault.
Where
do they go next? Where do they go from here?
No idea. Jinder's got a role to play, and I hope he gets to play it a bit better than he has in 2021.
Absolutely. Natalia, next up. She began to team with Tamina at the start of the year, but was then forced to face her for the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble, which she won, but then didn't win the Rumble. She got eliminated by Bianca Belair as Bianca charged to victory. But she did win the tag team turmoil match with Tamina on night one of WrestleMania, but then lost the eventual title match on night two, which to me was a bit of a shocker.
Now, take my bias out of it, right, for the Tamina train. Listen to the crowd at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not give them that moment?
They were really up for it, yeah.
They were.
Yeah. Then they beat them anyway in May, so why didn't they just beat them at WrestleMania?
We've said this so much, Eunice Tierney, yeah. Why didn't they just beat them anyway?
So they won the titles in May from Shayna and Nia, but then lost them to Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash, ASH, in September. Natalya then went on to enter the Queen's Crown tournament, losing to Doudrop in the first round, and Tamina was drafted to Raw, so now Natalya's... Bonkers. No, she's not on her own. She's now aligned with Shayna Baszler, sort of.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, Natalya is there to put over the younger talent. I think that's her role. I think that's fair to say. Yeah. She does a very good job at doing that. She's bell-to-bell one of the best there is in the lasses roster in WWE for me. Nia still.
Natalya.
Natalya. Mm. Saying all the wrong names here. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because it's no fault of Tamina and Natalya's that their women's tag team title reign came to nothing, because that's just how WWE treat that title, with utter contempt.
Who was it they had a feud with where their thing was about being... we're professionals and we're training in the ring, and you're just... It was Dana and Mandy Rose, wasn't it?
Yeah, Dana and
Mandy.
They're
taking selfies next to them or getting a photo shoot, and then they're like, you're training too loud in that ring. Stop it.
Well, rubbish.
But then the Mania win on night one was a big moment, and so was the match on night two until they didn't win it.
For Natalya, it's been an all right year, okay. I'd suggest. You reckon?
Yes, I think
so. It's a weird thing to see her in a table above the likes of... No, it's not. It's fine. She's been on TV more than everybody else in the tier below, I'd say. So, good for her.
Shayna Baszler next, who is sort of aligned with Natalya now. She won the tag titles alongside Nia Jax on the Royal Rumble pre-show. That was when Ric Flair and Lacey Evans
got
involved.
The period of time as well where Shayna and Nia and Reggie won every single week.
Oversaturated, I'd say. Successfully defended the belts as well at WrestleMania, as we've just established, but then lost them in a rematch on SmackDown in May. Then Shayna had a bit of a singles feud with Alexa Bliss, losing to her in a match at Hell in a Cell after Bliss hypnotised Reggie into slapping Nia at ringside, which distracted Shayna.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, wow. That was good. After ages of bickering, they were bickering from the moment they formed the tag team, her and Nia. She finally turned on Nia in September in one of Nia's last storylines before her release.
Broke her arm,
injuring
didn't she?
Her arm.
Yeah.
Did the same to Eva Marie as well. Then was drafted to SmackDown and entered the Queen's Cup, losing to Doudrop in the semi-finals, and now seems to be aligned with Sonya Deville as kind of a enforcer.
Enforcer role, yeah.
But, like, informally.
For, like, a few-week period, it was looking very good when she was just snapping fools' arms. This was like, yes, this is the Shayna Baszler we should be seeing all the time. They finally got what she is. This is it. We're off to the races. Then the move to SmackDown happened. I didn't mind the loss to Doudrop, because I think highly of Doudrop. I'm sure you do,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You do, too.
Yes.
The Doudrop. But... bearable?
Bearable.
Shayna's, yeah.
I would put it on the same level as Natalya.
Lost
though.
In purgatory.
Yeah.
Women's tag team title purgatory.
Yeah, she was, and we did see too much of her, which again wasn't her fault.
No.
But she just put a shift in.
It was just that little glimmer, that little few weeks spell when she was being the Shayna Baszler of NXT fame. Yeah. And it just went away and hasn't come back since.
Yeah, you're right. For her,
for Shayna Baszler.
Yes.
I'll put her somewhere there.
Okay.
I've not really been doing it this way. I've just been doing it up and down.
Sasha Banks. The legit bus, Sishi Bunks, as you call her. Mm-hmm. I can't remember why.
That was the Impact Zone.
That was her Impact
Zone. Only I change her name, but make it sound similar.
She started the year as the SmackDown Women's Champion, retaining the title against Carmella at the Royal Rumble, then teamed and feuded at the same time with Rumble winner Bianca Belair in a storyline that also involved a lot of Reggie for some reason. The build to the main event of WrestleMania Night 1 was mainly about
Carmella
Reggie.
Brought Reggie in as the sommelier, the wine fella, giving her champagne and whatnot. But Reggie fancied Sasha, that's what I took from that thing.
Right, okay.
And then Carmella got a bit suspicious, and I can't remember how it all petered out.
No, they kind of realised what they were doing about 2 weeks before Mania and went, Reggie doesn't need to be in this story anymore.
But Reggie was the centrepiece of the entire women's division at one point.
Yes,
both the women's tag team titles and the SmackDown title. Yeah.
Then... Sasha lost to Belair in the main event of WrestleMania Night 1, which I would suggest is one of WWE's best matches of the year.
Oh, yes.
It was fantastic.
The whip still heard around the world.
Yes.
But there was more to it than just that, obviously.
Then she took time off for a few months. I always find that quite effective, like what Kenny Omega's doing when a champion takes time off after losing their belt, because it's like, not only is it probably necessary physically for them, but it sells the emotional impact.
Keeps them fresh as well.
And it does keep them fresh. But then she returned in July to save Bianca from an attack on SmackDown, but then later in the night attacked her herself. Just, it was the briefest of face turns. Then they built towards a rematch at SummerSlam. Sasha was pulled from the event. It's never truly been cleared up, replaced with Becky Lynch.
She had that Zoom call with the fans in Germany, I think, or something like that, and people were saying she had a cough and a splutter. So maybe they were, that's unconfirmed. That's just people speculating, I think. So
returned again at Extreme Rules to interrupt a match between Lynch and Belair. This led to the triple threat match at Crown Jewel, which Becky obviously won, but then Sasha, now a face somehow, it's kind of been a unspoken, like a silent face turn.
She's her, I think.
Yeah, because she's over.
She struggles to be a heel here.
Captain Team SmackDown in Survivor Series, but was the victim of mutiny in the ranks and was
that
eliminated
was a
by
a load of bollocks.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
SmackDown had it in the bag until that nonsense.
Four on one.
Yeah, it was 4-on-1. And then Bianca Belair came back. Well, she didn't really come back, did she? Everyone turned on each other and it all went south.
Yes.
The WrestleMania match has been one of the stand-up moments of Sasha's career, I'd say, so far in WWE. Storylines haven't really been there, but the match, well, I guess it has been a year of one match. Is that fair to say for Sasha Banks?
Yeah, her other performances have been good, but that match like stands above all else, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure where to put it. It's all right or lovely for me. But
it's
I'm
all right
sure
or lovely.
One.
Do you want to go all right? Conservatively so? How big does that WrestleMania match play a part in this
I ranking? Know. I think for its significance, it maybe pushes her into lovely.
Oh, bugger. Oh,
right.
Sorry,
quick.
Sam.
Oh.
Lovely.
Yes.
Historically so as well. It was the first main event with two
Black women, yes,
black
of course.
Women as well,
absolutely.
So, yeah. We'll put it lovely.
Yeah.
She is always money, good value for money when she comes on.
Yeah, she
comes
is.
On the screen as
she
well.
Drew Gulak, owner of the best theme in WWE.
We've learned that already, everybody. Go back and watch the SmackDown roster entrance theme tier list. If you want to just hear about us wax lyrical about Drew Gulak, if you want to hear the theme, just go on a different part of YouTube.
It's called Fade, and it's absolutely brilliant. Okay, you put him in the bin.
What can we say?
Well, he lost a Royal Rumble qualifier match against AJ Styles on Raw when he was relevant still. Mm-hmm. Then mainly wrestled on main event and in dark matches. Occasionally I've put over the likes of you can tell I'm struggling to find things to talk about. Occasionally put over the likes of Mansoor and Angel on TV before being drafted to SmackDown. Still only really appearing on main event, but did take part in The Rock's 25th anniversary Battle Royal and the Black Friday Battle Royal.
Playing
a crucial role in neither match.
Such a talented fella, such a charismatic fella, completely underutilized, completely misused. It's not his fault, but his year has been bin-worthy.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say there.
No, me neither. Next up, Shotzi, formerly Shotzi Blackheart, but she's lost lost her surname. Started the year in NXT and entered the Royal Rumble. Lost the Dusty Classic final alongside Ember Moon, but then beat the women who beat them, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, in a rematch to win the tag team titles. So
that was quick how that turned around.
Yeah, it was. Lost them a couple of months later to The Way, or the women of The Way, in a street fight, which I remember being very entertaining, actually.
Yes.
Then she was called up to SmackDown alongside new partner, just Knox. Not Tegan Knox, just Knox.
Shotzi and Knox.
Shotzi and Knox.
Bodger and Badger.
Yeah, Bill and Ben. they won two contender matches, like, you know, when if you win, you get a title shot against the same person. AEW uses that a lot as well. Won two of these contender matches against the women's tag team champs, but never got the title shot, and then Knox was drafted to Raw. What was that about?
No idea. They would literally have to stab them or something to get a title shot, it would seem. It was
they
shocking.
They were comfortably better than them. Yeah. They were best of them in every match. Then, as a single star now, Shotzi had a contender match against Charlotte Flair, the women's champion, but lost because of Sasha kind of being bumped into on the apron. So then Shotzi turned heel, attacking Sasha Banks afterwards, then played a part in deliberately eliminating Sasha from the Survivor Series match, as we've established.
And most importantly of all, she shot Happy Corbin in the bollocks with her tank backstage.
Yeah, she did.
When Happy Corbin's luck was nowhere to be seen. I think it's been quite a good year for Shotzi.
It's certainly been a step up, and she's risen to the challenge.
Rise up. Very SmackDown-ish.
Yeah.
Drowning pool. I don't know where to put either top end of all right or lovely for me.
I'd say similar to, who was it? We said that, similar to Aaliyah, but better than Aaliyah, because there's been more.
Yeah.
But similar to Aaliyah, there's not been enough to push her into lovely for me.
I'd agree
she's
with that.
She's the
as
same
well.
As Aaliyah, but a tier above.
There's a big threat as well with Shotzi that she's going to become one of those heels on the main roster who just loses any big match she has.
Yeah,
it felt that way with Sasha Banks on that SmackDown where she's lost.
I think so. And you know, it plays less of a role in the women's division, but she is quite small. She's like short. And I don't know if that matters. Does that matter?
I don't think it does. Queen Zelina's like 2 foot tall, isn't she?
Oh, of course she is. What we're talking about. She beat Doudrop in the final. Right, and Doudrop's way taller than her. Right.
She's in the conversation, though, Shotzi. More to come. One of those ones. That's a favourite saying here on the tier list.
Terrible argument I've made there. Becky Lynch is quite short.
They're all quite short, the ladies.
Apart from Charlotte, and Nia before she got released.
Yeah.
Okay, right, fair enough. Because we're obviously both towering men.
5'10".
Yes, yeah, same. Ricochet is next. He is the penultimate member of this tier list.
This should be a fun thing to speak about.
He took part in the Royal Rumble and Money in the Bank ladder match. Oh, wow, I've skipped half the year there. Well,
rightfully so, yeah.
After beating AJ Styles on Raw to qualify for the latter, but was unsuccessful in both. He also floated between Raw and main event, where he had that feud I mentioned with Mustafa Ali, which was probably really good. Which was probably really good. Then he lost in the first round of the King of the Ring tournament to Xavier Woods, but I'm not complaining about that because that was Woods' time. Then he was drafted to SmackDown, and hasn't really done much since, but did almost win the Survivor Series Battle Royal, last being eliminated by Omos.
That was his mini push of the year, I guess. The couple of matches he had on SmackDown, I think the four-way to qualify for the Survivor Series team, didn't win, obviously, but was very impressive in the match.
I was very surprised that he was one of the superstars who got his own dedicated entrance during the Battle Royal.
That tells you they think highly of him.
But do they? Well,
he did well in the Battle Royal, but now it's gone back to nothing. And Ricochet should be doing more than that, because he's Ricochet.
One of the best high flyers in the world. Mm-hmm. So, is he been then? Because he's been used so little.
Yeah, well, why not? I'll go for it. For, in terms of from talent to output ratio, if that makes any sense, it's been worthy for Ricochet. If I grab him, there he is, in the bin with you, young
he's
man.
One of many very talented superstars they've got who they just don't use enough.
Underutilised.
And finally, the beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar. Bit of a short year as well, because he wasn't part of the farm the full year. He was in Saskatchewan.
What did he say on SmackDown?
I hunt and kill things and then eat the things that I
all
kill.
In Saskatchewan.
Yeah, he was very adamant about it being in Canada. He returned at the end. Oh, and I checked where Saskatchewan, where his village in Saskatchewan is on the map before.
Well, you know where he lives?
Yeah, because it was on Wikipedia, the village that he lives in. Ooh. And I was thinking, oh, Brock Lesnar's going to live way up in the wilds of Canada. No, he's like right on the American border.
Is he?
Well, near enough. Well, then I dug a bit deeper, and it turns out that the vast majority of Canadian big cities and settlements and stuff are on that, because it's just too cold the further north you get.
And you got to travel a lot. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Short commute to the airport or whatever.
So he returned at the end of SummerSlam, confronting Roman Reigns after his win over John Cena, and then in a dark segment, battered Cena to send the kids home happy. But everyone seemed to enjoy it. Then he lost to Roman at Crown Jewel after that belt shot and the interference from the Usos. Then he attacked Adam Pearce. The start of that SmackDown was really thrilling, because he was fuming after losing that match.
He sent Pearce to therapy. He beat him down that bad.
And then was suspended and fined $1 million.
Which he's paid.
Which he's apparently
just before Christmas. What a wholesome babyface move.
Absolutely. And since then, he's come back and was... Like, I was about to say mean to Sami Zayn for no reason, but Zayn's a heel.
I thought Brock in that segment, or two segments with Sami talking, was fantastic.
Yeah, he's better than he's
ever
been.
Look at that kid. Yeah. He name up in lights, all that stuff.
He's never been that charismatic.
No, he hasn't, ever. Apart from when he put on that Mexican hat, that sombrero.
And when he had the boombox.
Yeah.
And when Keith Lee entered in the Rumble and he went,
"Whoa, big boy.
That was good. He's shown flashes here and there, but never this amount.
Has it been too short, though, to put him any higher than... All right?
I think definitely what he's done has been good enough for All Right, but yeah, there's been so little of it.
Just the little amount of it.
But he is in the title match at day one.
He is.
Next year could be bigger.
Could be his year.
Unless
we're rooting for you, Brock.
Until we get to like Mania and he disappears for another 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think All Right's fair. Mm-hmm. It's been good what he's done, but it's not been enough to get him up in the upper bits.
Fantastic. But Ross, before we finish, and this is the first time I've taken this role.
The tables have turned.
I'm very excited. I'm very journalism. I have to now ask you, which in the best of the best is the best of the best?
I'm nervous. I never have to do this bit.
Would you say that Sheamus has had a better year than Happy Corbin?
No.
No?
I love Happy Corbin's 2021.
Would you say that King Woods has had a better year than Happy Corbin?
No.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm made up for Xavier Woods to win the King of the Ring, because he's wanted it for so long. But the story, it's long-term storytelling, Jack, and it's the best that WWE have done in ages, in my opinion.
Because there's only four of them, I'll ask you, has Woods had a better year than Sheamus?
Yeah, it's yeah. Go on then. Even though Sheamus has been really solid all year long.
Oh, yeah.
Whoops.
And finally, has Roman Reigns had a better year than Happy Corbin? Toilet.
There's the toilet. We can't hear it. I can't confirm. I walked
back.
Oh
no!
So there is the toilet.
We never know how long it's going to go on for either. This could be 10 seconds.
He's done.
Pretty good one.
This is a hard one, isn't it? I would say that in turn, Roman, you've got to say yeah, haven't you?
Probably.
He's missed a SmackDown.
Probably.
He's missed a SmackDown. But I'd say in terms of sheer enjoyment, I enjoyed Happy Corbin's 2021 more than I have Roman Reigns' 2021.
That's fair. That is fair.
There's a caveat.
Yeah.
But Roman Reigns is Mr. SmackDown, and I just think we have to put him as the best.
I think so as well. Yeah. I'd agree with
there
that.
There we go then.
In fact, I'd agree with the vast majority of
that. I think
we've
done a sterling job here.
We have. We have indeed. I don't know what order these are going out in, but we're also going to do a Raw one and an AEW one.
I think
as
they're
well.
Going out in order that we pump them out.
So you'll see those on the channel in the near future. I'll pass it back over to you if you want to do the outro.
You can do the outro if you want. You can do the Gary YouTubing too. Anyone can. That's the beauty of the Gary
YouTubing. Thanks very much for watching this YouTube spectacular with myself, Gary YouTube, and Gary YouTube as well. And we've both been, because it's a verb, Gary YouTubing. Look out for more exciting content. We've got loads of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So there'll just be loads of stuff on the channel, including more of these tier lists. Why don't you share your opinions in that comment section down below?
We're so wrong, aren't we?
I know.
We
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely. And have a wonderful festive period. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.